This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blunberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. Listen to Dear Felicity, presented by Walmart, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Pie in the Sky Media. This series contains adult language and descriptions of graphic violence throughout. Listener discretion is advised.
And we're ready to go. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back, Murder Chronicles Nation, to another bonus episode. I am here, as always, Brandon Morgan. I'm one of the co-hosts. I'm with the great Carolyn Osorio. Hello, Carolyn. Lovely to see you.
Hello, Brandon. How are you?
Let's talk either Dune 2 or the Oscars. What do you pick?
I didn't watch the Oscars, so actually the only thing that I was looking for with the Oscars is I Googled this morning which foreign film won, because I was sure it was going to be Perfect Day, so I could just take your face and like shove it in, because remember how you were making fun of me?
I was sure it was going to be Society of the Snow, and I didn't even consider Zone of Interest a foreign film. It's out of the UK. It's an English language film, but it's a foreign film technically. So, and I hear it was great, and I really can't wait to see it.
Well, you were giving me such a hard time about Perfect Days, the Japanese foreign film that I went to see. And I thought for sure, I don't even know if it was nominated. Was it nominated?
I don't think it was nominated. I don't think it was nominated.
Oh, okay.
No.
Darn. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dune 2 was amazing.
Yeah, Dune 2 was amazing. Yeah, your indie, you know, tree hugger Birkenstock movie, I guess, didn't get nominated. But now, Dune 2, let's talk. Well, first of all, with the Oscars, I was very happy with the Oscars, where everything went. I loved Oppenheimer. I loved that it did really well. There were some surprises. I like to see American Fiction win Best Original Screenplay. That's great. I thought that Oppenheimer would win Sound at it, you know, Best Sound, but it didn't. And Billie Eilish, the youngest... two-time Oscar winner, Billie Eilish. Two Oscars at 22 years old. Insane.
You know who... Okay, so I didn't watch the Oscars, but I looked to see who the winners were. And the woman who was in The Holdovers, I think she won... I don't know. She was amazing in that movie. Yes. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yes. She
really
was
incredible.
It, you know,
really incredible.
So did you see that movie?
No, I hear The Holdovers was great.
It was so good.
I love Paul Giamatti. I really can't wait to see it. But I'm glad that Oppenheimer basically swept. Cillian Murphy's one of
I really wanted Paul Giamatti to win. He like absorbed that role. I mean, even his walk. When I was watching it with my husband, I was like, even his walk. People started like, I mean, just the, if you know the character, it's like he nailed it, just even with the walk, right? Anyway, it was awesome.
Did you see Oppenheimer?
I did. It was great.
Okay.
But I like the ones, you know, I mean, Paul Giamatti's role was so quiet, but so powerful and just so like, he's such a great actor. And so, you know, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah.
He did a really good job. And it was funny because I was watching Howard Stern. He was in an interview with Howard Stern, and he got his start basically with Private Parts. That was kind of his big first.
It's Pig Vomit. He was like, right?
Pig Vomit. Yeah. Right. And it was so interesting watching them, like, you know, really talk about that role. And Private Parts was such a great movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a really, really good movie. And so anyway. But yes, Oppenheimer was great. You know, it was good.
So Dune 2, are you looking forward to Dune 3 now? Oof, I can't wait for 3.
I am, but I kept feeling like at the end of Dune, I was like, okay, when is it going to end? Because I was so in it. And I was like, gosh, what time is it? How is this going to end? And then it's going to leave us at a cliffhanger. We're going to be like, oh my gosh, wanting more and more. And it just made me feel like the future with those Borgs, man, just... I don't even want to exist if that's the future, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that such a horrible, horrible thought, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that. I was more hopeful at the ending. And they really played into, you know, that, I mean, it's interesting how I interpret it different from when I read the book so long ago to seeing the film adaptation of it, which is fairly, you know, really close, especially thematically. You know, and if you haven't seen the movie, then stop listening, because I'm gonna spoil some things. But with, you know, the whole notion of Paul Atreides as this false prophet, right? As that, like, he knows that he's not the chosen one, but he knows that people think that he is, so he'll play up to that in order to become the fucking emperor, right? Be the top guy and do some good, right? Like,
I mean, my feeling is that he transitioned a little bit, because how could he have survived drinking the whatever that was inside the serpent, right?
He said it.
He survived that.
He said it.
What?
My wife missed it as well. So they go into it much more in the book. He was the one who explained why his mother was able to survive it. Because
she had the training. She was trained to do it.
And she trained him his whole life in the voice, in all of the ways of that order of witches. She trained his son. He had the same training.
Right. But yes, but I think that was the twist and turn of the whole thing. It's like, is he, isn't he, is he, isn't he? And he was like, what I was captivated by was his acting, because he really played that part of, like, you know, being the little kid and like whatever. And then he became the leader that he was supposed to become. And he really owned it. Like, I believed it, you know, at the end, I believed it.
Yeah.
You know,
look, it's another Joseph Campbell, you know, hero's journey, you know, the reluctant kind of messiah who comes in and answers the call, and, you know, and they're, Javier Bardem was amazing and funny in his role. To find humor in that role, as written, all that was great. You know, so yeah, loved it. Loved it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And, you know, Anya Taylor-Joy is the sister. She's terrific. And she had one line in the movie. One line.
You know, she's going to be like, what was the chess? Did you see that series that she was in?
Queen's Gambit.
That was, oh my gosh, that was so good.
Incredible.
She's going to be really creepy, I bet. Like, really creepy. I never read any of the books.
Yeah.
But I mean, just, I could picture her playing somebody really creepy.
She's going to have a big year. Know? She's in the new Mad Max, the origin story for Imperator Furiosa, which is cool. Yeah, she's going to be good. She's a good little actor right there, I'll tell you what.
A good little actor there.
Good little actor. Yeah. It took me a while to come around to her, because one of my favorite TV shows ever is Peaky Blinders. And I really didn't like her in Peaky Blinders. Like, I didn't like her at all. Okay. And then, so I've begrudgingly watched Queen's Gambit because my wife wanted to watch it. And then I realized, oh, okay. They just didn't give her anything to do in Peaky Blinders. She was horribly underused, criminally underused in Peaky Blinders. So I went, okay, I forgive her for almost ruining my favorite television show of all time. And so now I'm like, okay, I'm on board. I'm on board.
Yeah, I mean, the director made it so seamless, like to actually pull something off.
Yeah.
You know, of that magnitude.
Yeah. Well, what was great was that part two picked up 1 second after part one ended. It was like a continuation.
It confused me for a second because I was like, wait a second.
It's like I never left the theater. It was really strange. It was really strange.
Yeah.
But really great movie. Great movie.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about it at Oscar time a year from now. I guarantee it.
All right. Let's get to it.
I have big problems with this episode. Big problems.
How did I know?
Big problems with the episode. And
what is the problem?
We'll get to it. Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Smarty Man. We'll get to it. So
you're the one that has the mystery. Just so you know, Brandon's got his little face, his little sourpuss face that he puts on. We'll get to it. Where is it?
Cabin in the Woods. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really interesting premise. You know, it sets up almost like a movie, right? Like you hear it deep in the woods of the Pacific Northwest there's vast tracts of unsettled wilderness up there, right? I mean, where you could just go and get lost in the woods forever, you know, especially as you get more up into British Columbia, even more so. But within the continental United States in Washington State, you can get lost. And there's a lot of places up there that are just, they still belong to the wilderness. And so this guy, you know, a granola probably, right? He's a tree hugger, right? He goes after tree poachers and says, all right, good for him. We need guys like this. He's a little extra sometimes, a little with his, you know.
I took out the part where he was showing me pictures. It's like, Brandon's going to freaking go insane if I put this in. He's sitting there next to me and we're like going through these pictures together. And it was just like, yeah,
nice tree. Oh, you named that tree? Oh, that's so cool. Good for you.
You know, my son Titan is named after the Grove of Titans in the Redwood Forest. Oh, so, cool. I mean, this guy's speaking my language.
That's a cool name, actually. That's a good name, Jennifer.
Well, you know,
also.
It's cool. I was pregnant with him and somehow I got a National Geographic. I mean, it's not like I'm a regular reader. Yeah. I have no idea how it kind of fell into my lap. And they had this pullout. It was like this huge, like color. It was like about this big. And it was like they did this type of photography where they were able to get the entire tree.
And you see a person way at the top, right? I know that picture.
Yes.
I know the picture.
Yes.
100%. Yes. Yep. Beautiful.
Yes.
Classic.
Yes. Yes. And I watched this podcast around that same time. It was probably like the first podcast I'd ever listened to. And it was about the Redwoods and just this guy who's pretty much like the guy in this show where he was like talking about how he would live up in these trees and he was like so into it. And they have like, you know, the Redwoods, they have different ecosystems inside. I mean, it was just so fascinating.
Yeah.
It was so fascinating. And I was like, that's a really great, great name. And so that's my son's name is Titan. Oh, I mean, we call him Ty, but anyway, you know, I love people who are so passionate about what they do. And, you know, so of course I was totally into this guy and just was like, you know, I mean, yeah, he was a little bit over the top, like with.
But it's cool. I mean, and he kept, I mean, for all of his seriousness and for his knowledge of the woods, his use of person trail over and over and over, called a human trail or just a trail as opposed to a game trail. He kept saying person trails, like he didn't have the right vocabulary of what it's actual called. And for a man of the woods, you would know it's probably not like there's some ranger going, this guy's calling it a fucking person trail. Call it like what it's called. And he kept saying it, but that's okay. There's a little pet peeve, but it made me laugh. That's all right. So tell us, A, how did you hear about this? Okay.
Yeah.
And so
I was, go ahead. Sorry.
And just what is the genesis of this? Like, are these like illegal kind of cabins in the woods? Are they commonplace? Are they always used for nefarious reasons? Are some of them just like hunting lodges or whatever? So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So I ran across this story when I was, you know, working for a news and talk radio station in Seattle as a reporter. And so I was like, this kind of got me in that space of wanting, you know, thinking about true crime and thinking about, you know, people. I mean, I've always been fascinated with human behavior, human nature, why we do what we do. And this story was like, what is going on? Like, I couldn't believe. So I knew the punchline, obviously. And, yeah. And it was like the fact that somebody would take the time and the energy and the effort to go and do this. And then his story. And so, you know, when I started a regional true crime, this was the very first episode that I did. And I, you know, he came over to the house and he was like, I'm so interested in his story, you know, kind of what makes him do, you know, want to go through. Because when I saw the story, it was, you have to listen to it from his perspective, I think, to really understand his motivation for doing it. And as I was talking to him, that's what I was really getting pulled into, is like, what makes a person do this? Because the other guys were like, let's burn it down, right? Let's just, well, we don't want to have anything to
think
do with
about
it.
I mean, think about it. If this fabled, you know, like gingerbread cabin in the woods that he'd only heard about was like his white whale, and he finally finds it, like, yeah, and it's kitty porn. Right?
That's what it was, though, Brandon. That's what it was.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I know.
Like, how awful to finally achieve something and find something you've been looking for, and that's what it's for.
Well, and you're not wrong, because during the interview, like the interview that we did together was literally like an hour and 40 minutes, right? And so what I didn't put in there was, and I don't, you know, think he'd be upset with me saying this, because he said, you know, during this and after it, you know, I was going through a divorce, and he feels like this was part of that, you know, that toxic kind of, you know, obsession about this. I mean, that's not why he got divorced, but it was just kind of like the whole thing of just like being a part of something sinister, and just the blackness that kind of seeps into your life, you know. You know, he's lumping it together. They really don't have anything to do with one another, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he kind of puts it together. But then also that curiosity, that was another thing. I loved his curiosity of wanting to find it.
Now, Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth, which means you can track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. You're connecting with customers in-line and online. Shopify is also all about driving store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. And Shopify makes it so easy to get the hardware you need that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/mischief. That's MISCHIEF, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/mischief to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/mischief.
Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blunberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. Listen to Dear Felicity, presented by Walmart, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall. It's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Because he's super cocky about his knowledge of the woods, and that's great. And it's great. And this challenged that attitude of his. Like, you're goddamn right, I can find this fucking place. Come on. I can find it. Watch this, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he does it. And then the next four or five things, I don't understand. This is where my problem starts coming in. All right. So he finds the place. It's obviously, I mean, I don't even want to think about it, but it's obviously illegal. Okay. The material that's displayed in this creepy cabin in the woods is obviously highly illegal. Okay. So he shows his friends. Okay. Mm-hmm. His friends say burn it down. Mm-hmm. I get it. I would want to burn it down also, but then I would also want to catch the person and not burn all of the evidence. The evidence is what's important to not destroy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he finds Kings County sheriff, was it?
It was a deputy, sheriff's deputy.
Yeah, sheriff's deputy.
He said sheriff, but it's the deputy.
Sheriff's deputy. Brings him out to the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the sheriff tell him? Here's
Are you talking about
felony criminal activity going on, right? Like jail time, felony stuff. And a law enforcement official tells a non-law enforcement, like a regular citizen, you take all the stuff. Go ahead. You come back here and you take... Where's the chain of title for evidence with this? Like that we could be fruit of the poisonous tree when it goes to trial, couldn't it? Right?
Like, well, and that's what he said. And that's why, not to skip ahead, but he was like at the end when it had been restocked, he was like all of my worry, because he was worried about that too, but he was more worried about—
Who is this deputy? Yeah. And whatever you do, don't bring it to the safety of the evidence locker at the sheriff's office. No, no, no. Keep it in your weird place in a bag with a piece of tape on it that says, don't look. The fuck is that all about?
You know, I think that because King County, there's unincorporated King County. And I'm not like making excuses for anyone. I'm just giving what could have happened. It's like they have so few people in unincorporated King County that they don't have very many officers. So the officers or the deputies that are there have these huge regions, right?
Right.
And so I think that they were like, hey, we want to be a part of this, but you know, it's not at the top of our priority list. And so you're a park ranger. I think that because he was kind of quasi law enforcement, I think maybe Brandon, again.
Brandon, I'm not, if I'm the deputy, I'm going to want to get the collar on this guy. I'm going to want to protect the evidence. It's a kiddie porn dude, right? Really?
I mean, I totally agree with you. I'm just, I mean, the mindset of like, and make sure you bring someone and then nope. I mean, it could have like the ramifications. What if the guy went with a shotgun and ran into him on the trail and the guy
didn't even
killed,
get to that yet, and, right?
Okay.
Go back by yourself to get the stuff.
He told him not to go back by himself, but like, of course.
Go back without the protection of law enforcement. Okay. Go ahead.
I know.
And handle sensitive evidence without a crime scene person. Okay. Oh, so get your fingerprints all over everything. Okay.
And that's what I said to him.
Leave
too.
Your DNA in the place, probably, if a fucking hair falls out of your hat. Okay. Right, what, this guy's a moron for even going back there without a cop. Okay.
I know. And because that's what I kept saying to him, like a broken record. I was like, how did you think that, like, you, I know that you told police that it was there, but people have been, you know, prosecuted for less. No, like, all the things that you
these firebugs that say, hey, there's a fire down the street. They're the first one that they look at as the arsonist. Right.
Absolutely. I know. Yes. Yes. And he was so, again, I think that the saying of curiosity kills the cat. Mm. Like, I think that he was so obsessed and blinded by it. And to your point, the white whale, he maybe wasn't thinking clearly, you know, because if it were.
Right. No,
if my husband was like, came home and told me about this, I would be like, we need to do something, but we need to not go back
there.
You're
never going back there ever again. You're going to give the coordinates to law enforcement and you're going to shut the fuck up. Because listen,
right.
Finally, you get the law enforcement response that you would think is necessary when the FBI comes in, just like a swarm of locusts, right? And they got a ton of agents there in the building and everybody's there. And they set up the trail cams to catch the guy coming back. What do you think would have happened if 6-8 months, there's no one shows up on the trail cams? They're going to be looking at Birkenstock boy as the bad guy. They are.
I know. You're absolutely right. I know. Because if you think about it, 3 years ago, there wasn't any porn in there. And then all of a sudden you start working there.
And there's a ton of porn, right? Okay. And I could come up with a million reasons why the cops would think he's right for this, right? Like, oh, okay. Maybe you saw someone in the woods in the vicinity of your cabin and you're like, shit, they might know what I got going on back there. So I got to get in front of it and I'm going to report someone has this weird, you know, masturbatorium deep in the woods with kiddie porn, right? And so
a masturbatorium?
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. What else would you call it? Let's not kid ourselves as to what happened in that cabin, right? You can't tell me that this is just dawning on you right now.
No, is that a real word?
I don't know. Will you stop saying it? It sounds weird when you say it. I was just riffing.
I know, but you're such a word sleuth that I actually thought. Thinking, is that a real word?
I doubt it's in the dictionary if that's what you're getting at.
it's like oddly it fits.
Okay, I apologize if I've offended anybody with making up a word, but look, let's get past it. Stop saying it, please.
Okay. You're the one that said it first.
I said it once in the middle of a stream of consciousness rant, but listen, so this guy. Listen, he was so close. He was so close.
I'm sorry. I keep thinking about it. And like, I keep thinking of like Moulin Rouge. It's like masturbatorium.
Okay.
I'm going to stop now.
Just stop.
I'm stopping.
I didn't want to say Jack Shack. Okay.
Oh my God.
So I tried to keep it highbrow, criminal mischief.
All right. I know. Okay. So what I'm saying
is that he was, I think, 6 months of no hits on the trail cams away from being arrested for this. That's what I think. Okay.
You know, I think that you and I are both like thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't, as I was talking to him when I was interviewing him, and he was so earnest and he was so passionate and he was so all these things. But in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, are you not seeing what I'm seeing here, dude? Are you not seeing how, like, when you're carrying that satchel and he's like laughing? And because I would
no
be
one
like,
sees me. Yeah, no shit.
He could have been pulled over. He could have been like, when he goes to the shed, people, his coworkers could have been like, well, you know, CJ always acts a little bit weird. You know, he's always carrying.
Maybe it's a birthday present for me. Let's see what's in this bag that says, don't look. Ah!
I mean, I just, but I mean, we're joking about it, but it, in all seriousness, I mean, he really did take a risk, only in getting in trouble for something he absolutely did not do, but also putting himself in at risk with these pedophiles, because, you know, the two that came back on the cam, only one of them was busted for it. But like, how does that work? Yeah. Hey, let me show you my cabin. I mean,
charge admission? Like what?
I don't know. Isn't that scary though? Isn't that freaky?
It's disgusting. But and the sheriff's deputy that just kind of put him up for grabs and was like, yeah, go back there. Don't go alone, but get rid of all that stuff. And you hold on to it. That's a fucking mystery to me. How that's good police work. I don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, it really worked out for him in the long run because, yeah, I mean, what if the people were meticulous and like dusted their prints off and his was the only prints that were on there?
It worked out for him in the most like Mr. Magoo kind of way ever. Okay. You know, like Magoo is all blind and driving in the building under construction and the, you know, and the I-beam comes just as his car gets in and gently places him on the ground below. I mean, he Mr. Magoo'd his way through this whole thing and he got super lucky. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy and he's innocent of all this. But like you said, people have gone down for much, much less, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So they put up the trail cams.
Mm-hmm.
And they get.
Oh, one other thing real quick to your point. I think too, if you look at his history of being in the Olympic National Forest and like him, he's used to working with a lot of like people doing bad shit out there. Right. And so maybe he kind of got a little bit of hubris thinking, hey, I've been through so much. I can handle anything. I can talk my way out of anything. And like, you know, I know these trails. I know, you know, this is my land, you know, like, I think that the way that he was talking about the people that live around there is like he was talking about how he feels about it. Like he was like, you know, people who are stealing this lumber, like I take this very personally.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you know, honestly, when you see these huge, beautiful trees that just, you can't replace those. You can't replace them. And so I get that feeling of like stewardship. I think that's such a real true thing. Yeah. So I think that all those things being all like, that's his psychology of like, you know, I think that played a part in it too. He was used to dealing with people that, you know, because if it would have been just a newbie who's on there, who's like, you know, I'm not going to go out there, you know, who would go out there like that, you know, by themselves.
Right. He did have a lot of confidence in the woods, especially early in the episode when he said, like, you run into animals, but bears, whatever. Like, he was very blasé about that. He says it's the random humans that he's worried about, and you have to be a good communicator, and you have to talk to them, and you have to do all that, because he's unarmed.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got bear spray on him. Who knows? But you know, especially if people are doing illegal shit back there. Like if you
that's what I'm saying. I think he probably built a tolerance to it.
Yeah, but like if you come across, it's different. Like coming across like a guy who's just living in the woods, right? Because he's homeless, or that's what he chooses. Or and the difference between coming across a guy who's operating an illegal meth lab, who might might be worth it to him to kill you and bury you in the woods somewhere. You know,
absolutely.
I remember hearing these fabled stories back in the 90s about like the pot fields in Humboldt County, right? Northern California.
Oh my gosh.
Like you go up there and here's the bus stop that you take. You take the Greyhound to this and you get off and there's a trail marked and you go and you follow this creek until you see a garden hose and a generator coming out of the creek and then follow the hose. But you're going to come across a dude with a shotgun, you know, guarding the fields. Let him know you come and be like all of this shit, right?
But that's true.
I know.
There's a documentary series that it's not even like it's not hippy dippy. It's like money. Armed and big you're money. Dead if you walk into big money. Yep. And it's like there's a lot of people, I think it's girls that have gone missing up there.
Yep,
and it's scary. It's like that, but different.
Right. It's less so now after legalization, you know, but back then, 30 years ago, you know, there were people who were making these pilgrimages up there. Like I want to go work in the harvest season and all that. Cause there's so much money, But if you're just out fucking around and trying to like steal some weed, you'll get shot. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know? And so,
well, and he was saying the booby traps. That's the thing that was crazy.
Yeah.
The booby traps.
Yeah.
That's no joke.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
That's like Rambo shit, you know? Like
big time.
Booby traps up there in the woods.
Big, you know, to get time.
Yeah.
And the thing too is like when he was like, and they don't park rangers, they don't make that much money. They're in it for the nature and you have to deal with all this crap. And like, yeah. It's like, I mean, getting, you know, your arm chopped off because you ran into somebody's booby trap because you got too close to their like pot field.
Or like falling into a pit or in one of those nets that sweep you up, or your foot caught in a snare and you're upside down.
I mean, that's the thing. That's wildness that I do not want to be a part of. No. You know what I mean? I mean, that's like so terrifying.
Gosh. And the lengths that this fucking whack job went through to build his cabin, you know, like with prefab walls and shit, getting it in, you know, that's, what do you tell people? What are you building this for? Oh, you'll find out. No, what, I mean, like, what do you, it's strange. It's like Ted Kaczynski shit. Like the Unabomber had a cabin in the woods where he built fucking letter bombs and killed people. You know, there's like, what good comes out of a cabin in the woods, I guess is what I'm getting at. You know, why?
No, I mean, I mean, that's the thing that was, I think, one of the most creepy things about it was that there was two people on that camp. And like, it's like the whole Epstein stuff.
Wow.
But see, the guy, the cam, the fact that there were two guys in that camera, one was a suspect and then the other guy, you know,
didn't get charged. So that would tell me, now that I'm thinking about it, is that maybe it was a little bit of, you know, sexual tourism, you know, and the guy technically didn't break any laws if he didn't go in, you know, walking in the woods, he had a good lawyer. Like he was just going for a walk in the woods. He didn't know what was in that cabin. That kind of shit, you know?
Well, but, I mean, obviously that must have been what it is, but,
wow.
You know, I think there's just a lot of stuff that goes on that we just don't know about, you know, and then we find out in these documentaries where there's these pockets of places where, you know, people are doing stuff and you're just like, you think it's an anomaly. And I hope it is, but you know, and the fact that the hubris on this guy, they had taken everything away except for two photos.
He's like,
and
then he comes that's back weird.
Let me restock.
That's peculiar.
Like, wouldn't you just think?
Good thing I've got some extras, you know, and a big printing. I mean, he's printing poster size. Okay.
Wow. I mean, where is it getting printed? Does he have like a dark room in his house? I mean, who would print this stuff? You know?
Woo! All right. Well, listen. How much time did this guy get? Is he still in jail?
He got 9 months, so he's long out. But he is listed as a sex offender for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Which I think is in full circle to CJ. Like, although it's frightening to think of how he could have gotten in trouble for this and probably doesn't realize it. Like, I'm glad that he did it because who knows what this guy was up to, you know, who knows?
Wow. All right. Well,
yeah.
Interesting episode. I'm glad I got to air my grievances and my problems with it, but, had a good ending. Glad the guy got caught. I'm glad that he has this, he's labeled as this hopefully forever. And honestly, I hope he gets some help. If he could be, you know, if there's counseling for this, I hope that happens. But I also hope that it doesn't just escalate, you know, a lot of times that's what happens. But anyway, I don't want to think about it, but well done. Great episode. Away from the norm, which is cool. No, you know, no murder, great storytelling. So I really enjoyed it. Well done. Thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're following the show. Consider sharing it with your friends. Review us if you'd like. It helps us out more than you know. And please consider supporting the great companies that support the show. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do it. Carolyn, anything else you'd like to add before we leave?
Nope. I'm Carolyn Osorio with Brandon Morgan, and we will see you next week.
Thank you, everybody. Stay safe out there.
From Cloud 10, Criminal Mischief is a Pie in the Sky production recorded in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. We're produced by Brandon Morgan and myself, music by Soundstripe. I'm Carolyn Osorio, your writer and host.
Hello, the world. We are They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck. And we are sisters that want to tell you about lesser known murders.
Our cases are always compelling, maybe even a little scary, with just enough banter to keep it interesting.
You can find us at theywillkill.com
or anywhere you listen to podcasts. See you there.
See ya.